He'd bring in a new covenant. The old covenant is our past. But Jesus would usher in a new covenant. Hallelujah. And this isn't university stuff. This is grade school. Jesus ushered in a new covenant. Praise God. And the period of time between Christ's first coming and the second coming is a significant time, and it's where God has taken you and me, and he's placed us in that time zone. And we've heard it said lots of times that the Lord has birthed a new race of people in that period of time, and that's what Pentecost is all about. It's about a people that God has come and joined himself to. Hallelujah. And those people between Christ's first coming and his second coming are known as those who have part in the first resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, I got to say this properly or in a certain sequence, and I don't know what it is, so I'm trusting the Holy Spirit one sentence at a time. Praise God. So if I stumble or I'm slow, be patient with me. And but they brought forth the Christ, and now we live in the time period between first and second coming of Christ, and he birthed a new race of people, and that they'd be known as those who have part in the first resurrection from the dead. That's what makes the church so significant, and birthed a new race of people. And this is the zone that we've been placed into through a spiritual birth. And, you know, Colossians tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Amen. Or the firstborn over our new creation. Romans 8:29 tells us that those he foreknew he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son, the firstborn over many brethren. Amen. And so we're being conformed into his image. You know, we're being made after his own kind. Hallelujah. And we need to be patient with each other because the Lord is at work. And we feed on a different food. We don't feed on manna that fell in the desert. We feed on spiritual food. We feed on his divine life. And by doing so, he's creating in the universe a moral and spiritual reproduction of himself. That's exactly what he's doing. But what's significant about this time zone that we're living in is that we were dead, and he's made us alive. Hallelujah. Do you know what Genesis 5:1 says? It says, first line, this is the generations of Adam. And you know, the generations of Adam started in life and it flowed into death. But those who have joined to Jesus, hallelujah, through the tribe of Jesus Christ, they started off in death and it flows into life. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, and we've been made alive, and we have part in the first resurrection from the dead. If you don't understand that, I want you to know there's two parts of the resurrection. Spiritually made alive, that's the first part, and then we're going to get a new body, hallelujah, that never has to wear a mask. Praise God. Never going to get a sniffle, never going to get a cold. We're going to be like Jesus. Exactly like him. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, let me read it to you. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Hallelujah. And that's what makes us different. We're of the tribe of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. A new covenant tribe. Amen. And they have part in the first resurrection from the dead. And we have the first fruits of the Spirit, born of the tribe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were dead, but we've been made alive. The Spirit has broken into the natural and cultivating that Spirit within each one of us. It's difficult. It's a full-time job, recognizing the spiritual, having eyes to see, and, oh, God, give us help, all the help we can muster. We want all heaven has for us. And so, anyway, all that to say that the Spirit is broken into the natural in each one of us. And a week or so ago, we heard about the woman with a spiritual infirmity. And she was bent over, and she could in no wise straighten out. And so something happened in the spirit that was affecting her in her body. Amen. And Jesus touched her and set her free. Now, that was before the cross. You have to take that into consideration. But we see how the spirit can infect the natural. And we went on to say that week, the natural can also affect the spiritual. There's a connection there, and we need to learn how to affect every power and principality, and we need to know how to infect them, affect them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So spiritual warfare looks awfully physical at times, and I have to say it takes wisdom to see the battle that's going on behind the battle. Amen. And it takes the wisdom. Only the Lord can help us to see, help us to recognize that the manifestations that are going on in the earth and everything that's going on, hallelujah, doesn't tell the whole story to us. There's a spiritual side to the natural things that are happening all around us, and may God give us eyes to see. There's a time to wait, we heard, and a time for action. But when God told Joshua and his army to march around Jericho, and the walls of protection around Jericho would fall down if they did it, and he told them a specific time, how to do it, the way to do it, and they marched around those walls, and the walls fell down flat, and it was the spiritual breaking into the natural. And it was the spiritual dictating who's going to win this battle. Hallelujah. Excuse me. And so there's an action and a reaction. They just did what God told them to do. And we see that the spiritual broke into the natural. And it was dictating how that battle was going to go. In the book of Kings, there was a gentleman by the name of Naaman. And Naaman was a captain in the Syrian army. And he had leprosy. And he was eventually sent to Elisha through a series of circumstances. And Elisha was going to heal him of his leprosy. And so Naaman pulls up at Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a servant out and gave him instructions what to do to receive his healing. And you know, Naaman was offended by the words of the man of God. And so you know what he did? Instead of receiving his healing, he turned in the opposite direction and he walked away because of offense. When we're offended about things, sometimes we can head in the wrong direction. That's exactly what Naaman did. He headed in the wrong direction. He went away from God instead of to God. He wasn't going to listen to God's word because it didn't line up with what he thought was right. And so he headed in the wrong direction, and because he had a wrong attitude. And you know, our attitude towards the gospel can create a passport or a prison. And it was creating a prison for Naaman. Yeah. His attitude was like, I've said before, like having a flat tire. You're not going anywhere till you change the flat tire. You're not going too far. Same with the attitude thing. And so Naaman finally yielded after he was persuaded by a servant to obey the word of God. And when he did, the natural broke into the spiritual, and a healing came, hallelujah, and set him free from his leprosy. But it's awful how offense can send us in a wrong direction. And you know, when we act, time for action, okay, and we get ready to act. We make a statement when we act. Sometimes we act out of the will of God, and sometimes we act, hopefully all the time we act in the will of God. And it makes a statement when we act. We answer all the questions about God. Does he care? Does he have a will in my situation? And when I act, how many people is it going to affect? Amen. And so maybe we don't really know how loaded with meaning our behavior is. But it speaks loud. And everything we do indicates our belief about God. Hallelujah. Where we end up in life is going to depend on the voices that we're listening to. That's for sure. So we make a statement when we act. Hallelujah.